Picture, if you will, a diner of the mind. On the air since 1997, on the web since 2005, and now available in handy podcast form. It's Friday, April 28th, 2006, and you're about to enter the diner. Oh, God. Hey, I'm starting to get lightheaded here. Oh, this stuff smells. The lawn care guy is here today at the diner. I can see him out there now through the big plate glass window out there squirting a variety of noxious chemicals on the lawn. Things like dimethylol, exhalene. Everything that guy brought is guaranteed to cause birth defects in California. I don't know why he bothers. Well, you know, you have to try. It's the beginning of the spring season. You have to try. You can't give up to the weeds. But 72 hours after he's left, it's going to be overgrown with crabgrass and spurge, for heaven's sakes. And it's not as though, you know, it's along a highway. It's going to be full of dirt and trash and the rest of it. And it's not like somebody who drives by at 55 miles an hour is going to say, wait a minute, that patch of grass we just passed there, did I detect a higher percentage of bluegrass and fescue? If so, I'm going to turn around and base my burger purchasing decision on that fact alone. I mean, no. I mean, I know you have to keep up appearances. The dandelions, however, will be back. Oh, yeah, there's no way to stop them. At this very moment right now, from some other part of the country, a vast choking cloud of dandelion seeds is heading our way. Probably from Australia, you know. Seasons are inverted. Australia has summer when we have winter, so the Australian dandelion seeds get into the jet stream and work their way over here eventually. There's already dandelions out there. On the way into the diner today, I noticed that there was actually a dandelion growing out of a crack in the parking lot, a crack in the asphalt, and there it is, a fully mature dandelion. You know, this is why I don't particularly over-worry about the ability of the planet to sustain life, because here you have this infinitesimal fissure in this bituminous landscape into which wafted one small single little seed, and yet it took purchase and gave forth life! Life! It's a lie! Ugly life, granted. Verminous, weed-like life, but life nevertheless. So perhaps after mankind has come and gone, the planet will be given over entirely to cockroaches and dandelions. At that point, when the supernova hits, you know, that's fine. I have no problem with that at all. If there's still people on the planet, I'll have a problem. But, you know, we got to get off and just leave it to the cockroaches and the dandelions and they'll be... Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. I'm James Lilacs, sitting here and babbling on at my usual spot at the long boomerang pattern for Micah Country. Here at the diner out on old Highway 23, about, I'd give it 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be. Oh, that stuff is just smells horrible. Well, what shall we do today, aside from having our genetic code rewritten while we inhale these foul vapors? Let me check the chalkboard by the door for the menu. That's boring. Ham and cheese on rye. Ham and cheese on rye with dandelion mustard. It happens every year in the spring. Somebody always tries to reposition the dandelion as an edible. Dandelion salad. Dandelion pate, dandelion mustard. Here, brother, try some dandelion wine. It's homemade. Oh, really? Really? So the Gallo folks haven't gotten around to the economic opportunities that doubtlessly will follow from large-scale dandelion wine manufacture. Go figure. It doesn't work. It never works. I mean, as a kid, everybody ate a dandelion. Everybody chewed on a stalk, and we all know what it tastes like. It tastes like crap. So when presented with dandelion salad, or a sparkling glass of dandelion wine, which we all know has got to look like urine, and most people just wave it off. But, you know, it's as if these people think that dandelion's getting a bad rap somehow, that the dandelion suffered from a bad PR agent early in its career. It doesn't work that way. We all know the dandelion's game, okay? We all got the dandelion's number. Looks great for a day or two. Big, nice yellow fields, but then they turn into those puffy-headed things, those zombie flower weeds that just infest the rest of your yard with the stuff, and the stalks themselves. There's nothing more disgusting, really. I mean, a small, cute, little, mini-sized dandelion, they'll do. But if you have some of the large ones, have you ever seen them actually in the wild when they can grow unencumbered by predators? Those things are huge, and they have these long, sick, rubbery necks that just The cord themselves, the necks are so stout you could actually lash a battleship to a dock with the things, and the roots go on forever. And the leaves are ugly. I loathe them. I loathe dandelions. And the more people tell me that I should like them because they just, have an unfortunate reputation. No, I'm sorry. My hate only burns hotter. Maybe I picked this up from my father, who, like most dads with lawns, considered the dandelion to be an interloper, an enemy. And to this end, he purchased something which was very cool that I remember to this day, the Wand of Death. That wasn't exactly the name under which it was marketed. Might as well. That's how we saw it. It was a long, green plastic tube with a yellow tip. And the tip had a little nozzle like you find on a dishwater detergent bottle, for example, except it was spring-loaded. You would fill it to the brim with poison. Poison. And then you would walk along, and then when you saw a dandelion or one, something that threatened to become a dandelion, you would squirt it. You would stick the stick down into its nexus and push, and evil, vile chemicals would flow into Mother Nature, right into the bosom of Gaia, and choke off that thing. It would die. You only wished it died on the spot, audibly. Oh, the satisfaction that men would have had in the 60s, walking around with a wand full of liquid poison, hearing the gasps and the screams of the dandelions. He never let me play with it because, well, it was filled with death. And dads sometimes are touchy about those things. It's gone, long gone. I don't know what happened to it. I doubt they make it anymore. What I have now to pull up the dandelions is something almost as good. It's a claw hand. And you stick it right on top of the dandelion, and then you push the button, and these tines go into the earth and drag it, kicking and, again, not screaming, but you can hope, you can think, maybe it's possible on another frequency, maybe bees are hearing it, maybe dogs prick up their ears because they hear the scream of dying dandelions, and then you just pull them out of the earth and deposit it. It works nicely, but you have to do it individually, and you don't have the same sort of modern satisfaction you get when you use fine products of DuPont and Dow Chemical to kill things. There was, in our garage, an amazing array of poisons, and they all were done by the Ortho Company. I believe it's still around. To this end, myself and the kid across the street, who had a bit of a reputation, decided we would form a gang. I think we were about 7, maybe 6. And we called ourselves the Ortho Brothers, which was pretty bad when you think about it. Didn't mean anything to anybody else. They probably thought that we were kids willing to come over and spray some stuff on the rose bushes. But we were the Ortho Brothers. Now, what did the Ortho Brothers do? Well, they went around to the other side of the block, the other side of the block. Not just the other side of my block, but the other side of his block, which was practically beyond here be dragons, terra incognita, end of the map. Men with two heads on the other side of the block. And we created mayhem and mischief over there, like walking over to people's carefully arrayed flower pots and pushing them slightly out of true, stuff like that. Little bits of mischief, until one day he decided to completely ramp up the action and got out a jagged piece of metal and ran it across the back of somebody's brand new car. And I ran home, and that was the end of my criminal career. Right there, right then, I was done with orthoism, as I understood it. Oh man, I was putting on a second application. Okay, well, I think they're probably selling very little today. Appetites are not exactly strong around here. It's not a good smell. Just not a good smell. There are a lot of chemical odors that I associate with spring that I love, such as the smell of gasoline and motor oil and fresh mown grass. That's a wonderful industrial modern chemical smell that says summer to me, that says freedom and relaxation. But the poison, nah, doesn't do it for me. Felt a little woozy there. Yeah, for a second I was seeing double. Well, I guess I'll just order the half sandwich then. No, really, seriously, I mean, I should crack a window. No, if I crack a window here, we get more of the chemical smell in the joint. Where's that duct tape? I put aside in my little spot under the counter here some duct tape and plastic sheeting a couple of years ago. Figure it might come in useful, you never know. Along with some cans of tuna. Yeah, that's kind of a sign that you're really over-preparing for possible catastrophes when you store canned food in a diner, but this might seem to be the time to start duct-taping the place shut to keep the noxious vapors from coming in. Whoever thought that chemical attacks would come from the lawn care guys? Ooh. I'm just going to play a song here and try to clear my head. All right, I'm just going to pick up something at random. A4.
Drunk. It's a mean old bottle they call moonshine. Red wine, so mellow and fine. Come home at night with a swimming in the head. Reach for the pillow, miss the whole darn bed. Drunk. Gin is a drink so mellow and slow. Get a little taste and you want some more. Start out walking and just can't go. Reach for the knob, miss the whole darn door. Drunk. It's a low-down dog life spent on the bar. Dust till dawn, then that's where you are. Out on a party, get groovy and tight. Come home and forget to kiss your baby goodnight. Drunk. I keeps on drinking, takes all my gold. Every Monday morning my head is sore. Whiskey, gin, and wine, so doggone fine. I'm gonna try you just one more time.
Drunk. Second here. One more shot. There. Clears the head a little. You know, at least they're not spraying for insects, too. I have a slight ant problem at my house. It's not as bad as the ant infestation I once had in D.C., where the creatures managed to get from the ground floor up 4 floors to a plate of food that I'd left out. Happened over the weekend. I came back and found a 4-story trail of life moving its way up and then moving its way down, because it's not like the ants are going to get up there, see the food, and say, let's eat. No, they got to bring it back down for everyone, which is good, I suppose, ethically speaking, but it means you have a double line of life writhing along your walls. Had to scrub that chemical trail off, and they never came back. But it's different at home. I have ground at home. And what the ants have done at home is take away the sand from beneath the patio and put it on top of the patio, which makes some of the bricks depressed. Not in the sad sense, but actually, if you get out there and on your hands and knees and scout across the line of the patio, you see some undulations, you see some indentations, and that's simply not acceptable. And I would hate to kill the ants, because I like ants. Of course, I like ants because of their size. Even if you take an ant and you magnify it greatly, it doesn't freak me out like it does with most insects. But I would grant you that if ants were, you know, the size of a Volkswagen, for example, or just even the size of a yellow lab, they would be terrifying creatures. If you came out of your house in the morning to get the newspaper and there were 5 or 6 50-pound ants standing around your car, stupidly batting with their feelers at the windows, attempting to get inside for some sugar that they've detected, you would demand that the city would do something. You would demand a bounty be put on ants, and you The streets would be filled with grim-faced men in the back of pickup trucks driving around with rifles looking for ants to shoot. You know, and some of the guys would have a slash across the face, a scar from where they got hit by a feeler, or, you know, they'd have one leg and a stump or something because they lost it to a pincer during the Red Army invasion in 97 or whatever. Now, it's good that insects are sized exactly how they are. I'm not exactly sure how that works out either. I mean, why aren't there flies the size of wolverines? But if you look back through other eras, you know, they had dragonflies with a wingspan of a 747, for heaven's sakes. Why don't we have houseflies today that are as big as large house cats? I don't understand. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad. I mean, we put up with flies now. At the most, they annoy us with their buzzing. And their you know... I'm trying to find a word for their fecal-studded feet, but nothing really comes to mind, so I'm going to have to go with fecal-studded feet. But if you had flies that were very, very large, with their grotesque compound eyes and their weird iridescent colors, and if you came outside and your small child was screaming because there was, you know, a very large fly fastened on her back attempting to get her up in the air and take her off, I mean, everybody would have a gun, and everybody would be really, really good at winging a fly from 50 paces. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, I had to kill the ants at home, which, again, you know, I didn't really feel good about it because I admire ants for a lot of things. I admire their ability to socially organize. I don't admire the sort of mindless totalitarianism that they bring to it, but on the other hand, social insects fascinate me. So I bought these little ant-be-gone things, and you poke holes in the side and you inform your child that if she so much as looks at these things, her hair will fall out, and then you place them where the dog can't get them. And the idea is that the ant goes in, samples the food, takes it back to the nest, and everybody eats it and they die. I'm just thinking that that ant has got to be getting some hard looks from the other guys when everyone gets that uh-oh feeling. You know, everyone looks at what they just ate, they feel the very, very bad sensation in their thorax, and they look at him and they say, well, that's just great. That's just great. You've poisoned us all. Nice work. Then the queen would have a word with the ants that guard the entrance to the nest. What were you guys thinking? Did you see what he was bringing in, for heaven's sakes? Yeah. Oh, ooh, sorry. Just went sideways again there for a second. I must be speaking too much. I just forgot to breathe. A little lightheaded. I need to slap myself again. No, one more time. You know, it doesn't really work as well as you think it would. I'll try the other hand, see if that feels like somebody else is slapping me. Well, sort of. Anyway, I'm just gonna... Maybe I should just breathe in a bag for a while. And now, while I find a bag, here's a message from our sponsor.
Yes, Raid. New bug killer discovery from Johnson's Wax. Raid contacts and kills all kinds of bugs indoors. Raid hunts them down like radar. Sweeps bugs from the air. Attacks them as they crawl. And kills them dead. A little goes a long way. Kills bugs even where they hide. Yes, Raid kills flies, mosquitoes, roaches, ants, all kinds of bugs indoors. Outdoors, Raid protects your garden, too. A little kills insects that attack flowering plants, evergreens, vegetables. Caution, ordinary household sprays kill plants. Raid saves plants. So don't buy several bug killers. Get Raid, first bug killer for house and garden. Raid house and garden bug killer.
Ugh, I'm still woozy. Let me try slapping myself again. You know, that really doesn't work as well as you think it would. Let me try slapping myself with the other hand. They say it feels like someone else is doing it. Well, that's not any good either. Oh man, he's unscrewing the squirter thing. He's gonna do another application. He's glugging that poison all over. It's spilling all over the parking lot. Oh, I tell you, the fumes in here. Okay, how dead can that stuff be? How does it work anyway? I mean, how does it know what to kill and what doesn't to kill? I mean, the difference between a crabgrass and a regular grass is what? It's the width of the blade, as far as I can tell. And I didn't know they calibrated poisons to be that ingenious. Oh, God. I gotta go outside. I'm gonna go down to Lake Lilac out back and wash my face. You know, I'd splash my face with some water in here, but I think if I used some of the water in the diner, my skin would slough off. I'm just gonna play a song here at random and try to stand so dizzy. So dizzy.
I can't get up.
Oh, the sun shines so much brighter, and the skies are twice as blue, and the grass grows green away down home. Oh, the old folks' hair is whiter, like the silver in the dew, and the grass grows green away down home. You never seen such red lips as one certain pair, or such golden hair as I've got down there. Oh, the heart strings pull much tighter, and the pals are twice as true, and the grass grows green away down home.
Am I on the floor? Anybody got a hint about this?
Oh, my head. So dizzy. Oh, where was I going? It's going somewhere. Oh well. It doesn't matter. Coffee, that's what I need. I need a cup of coffee. And there are three of them right in front of me. I'm going to aim for the one in the middle. I hope it's not cold. I hate when you think it's going to be hot coffee, and then it's cold coffee, and you're like, whoa. But then, you know, if you order iced coffee and it comes and it's cold, you're like, you're down with that. I mean, how do you know when you order your iced coffee that it's just, they just take a cold cup of coffee from some other guy and put a couple ice cubes in it and bring it over to you? I mean, what's up with that? That sort of, you know, observational Seinfeld humor. Yeah. Well, I'm going to have some coffee with some sugar. Haven't had a lot of sugar lately. Use the old sugar shaker here. Why do they call it a sugar shaker? Because you don't shake, you just kind of pour it all in. Oh, it's so pretty. So pretty, the sugar. I've never really thought about how pretty sugar is. I could take a nap. What the hell? Did I hit the jukebox or something? Well, it's kind of pretty. Did they, like, forget to turn on the mic for the choir or something? This is starting to freak me out a little. Dude, chill. Sound like, you know, if you got really close and listened, this is what you'd hear. Sleeping. Guy down at the end of the counter. He's sleeping in his soup. And the waitress. Oh man, is she sacked out. Yeah, just legs just splayed out on. Chef's taking a little kip, as they say in old Blighty. Man, he fell asleep on the grill. That's gotta hurt. And a cashier. There's a little spit bubbling from a corner of her mouth, so... So you know she's alive, which is... Hey. That's the exterminator man from outside with a... Any seat'll do. Oh. Brought some fresh air into the place. Oh. It helped a little. Oh my God. I just realized something. There's so many chemicals in the air. It's not just toxic. It's probably flammable. Or is it inflammable? Or is it both? I can never figure that out. And the lawn guy's getting out a cigarette. He's getting out a Zippo. I gotta stop him. I gotta get down to the end of the counter and stop him before he lights that thing and blows us all to hell. Buddy! Mister!
Slap the cigarette out of your mouth. Well, actually, obviously I did, but I if you'd lit that thing, the whole place would have gone up. Just wait right here. I gotta go peel the chef off the grill and stab forks in the waitress's arm to wake her up. And how do you breathe that stuff every day? Man. Ugh. We'll be right back.
I'm a picture of perfect health, normal as can be. Though I'm short on material wealth, it never bothers me.
I'm always sure each bridge is burned behind, I find it pays. But baby, mind where you're concerned,
I'd like to know what plays. If I had a dictionary, I would use the customary compliments and phrases when I want to sing your praises. But I'm up to here in trouble, my adversity is double, and to make the matter worse, I'm breathless. When I try to be poetic, you are never sympathetic. As it is, I do my best and hope and pray I pass the test. But up to now, I'm in the soup, my heart is doing loop the loop. On top of all of that, I'm breathless. You take my breath away, my castles are all in a heap. You've got me right where I want you, baby, you walk in my sleep. I take you for a little walk, and I'm a guy that likes to talk. You leave me on the porch, and then I wind up with a torch. For every single time that I'm inclined to tell you what is on my mind, I'm darned if I don't find I'm breathless. La 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 la. Poetic, you are never sympathetic. As it is, I do my best and hope and pray I pass the test. But up to now, I'm in the soup, my heart is doing loop the loop. On top of all of that, I'm breathless.
You take my breath away, my castles are all in a heap. You've got me right where I want you, baby, you walk in my sleep.
I take you for a little walk, and I'm a guy that likes to talk. You leave me on the porch, and then I wind up with a torch. For every single time that I'm inclined to tell you what is on my mind, I'm darned if I don't find. I take you for a little walk, and I'm a guy that likes to talk. You leave me on the porch, and then I wind up with a torch. For every single time that I'm inclined to tell you what is on my mind, I'm darned if I don't find. I'm breathless.
Well, everything's back to normal, and that's a big relief, let me tell you. The chef was not hideously burned. He felt himself fading and had the presence of mind to put a pancake down before he fell on the grill. So, essentially, it's bonded with his skin, but, you know, when you work at a restaurant, it probably doesn't raise as many questions as it might if you were, say, in retail, doing shoes, for example. And the waitress, takes exactly 6 jabs with a fork to get her out of an insecticide, herbicide-induced coma. File that one away for future reference, I guess. Wait a minute. Hold on. What? They're not.
No, you cut the grass first, then you put on the herbicide. You don't put it on first and cut the grass. That means you just take off all the grass, you just put the stuff on, you're going to have to do it again.
That's it. I'm out of here. I'm not going through this again. And neither need you, either, so you're free to leave. You have my permission to vacate the joint, but I hope to see you next week, and thank you for stopping by again, of course, as ever. I'm James Lilacs, and this has been The Diner for April 28th, 2006. We'll see you next week. And, we'll leave the window open for you. How's that work as a tagline? I didn't think so.